Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means all the Friday features will be coming up. Fly Jam Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy. All of those coming up. Plus, we're going to talk about Father's Day this weekend, so we're going to talk about the best and worst TV and movie dads. That's coming up as well. Right now, though, we want to check in with Ian Schur, who is an editor-at-large, and he does news with CNET. He writes about mobile devices, social networking, a lot of tech stuff, and he joins us periodically to catch up on all the tech news. And so we're going to welcome. You can check him out. You can follow him on Twitter at Ian Schur, S-H-E-R-R. Ian Schur. That's where you can check him out. And let's welcome Ian to the show. Ian, welcome back.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I am doing all right. I'm a little tired from being at this video game conference in Los Angeles. It's the world's largest. It's called E3. Anyone who's a gamer will probably squeal at the idea of this thing, but yeah. I've been here not sleeping for many days now, but it's been quite a show.
The Electronic Entertainment Expo, also known as E3.
Correct.
Yeah, and have you gone to this? This is an annual thing, correct?
It is annual. It's been going on for more than two decades. I think it started in 1994. And this is my 10th myself, so I'm a youngin' compared to a lot of people here.
Yeah.
But it's quite an experience because it's really when the hype machine for all the big video games coming out in the fall starts to build.
Right. And were you there? Did you see Keanu?
I did. I was in the audience when Keanu came out during Microsoft's Xbox event. He was talking about a game that his likeness is in. That is called Cyberpunk 2077. It's a game about kind of a dystopian future. And we don't know much about his character, but we do know it's definitely Keanu. And he came out on stage and someone screamed at him that, you know, you're amazing or you're fabulous or whatever it was. And he screamed back, no, you're fabulous. So it was quite, it was a perfect marriage of personality, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have stars come into E3 and you're like, why are they really here, right? They got a paycheck. But Keanu was a very good match. He had a really good personality. And everyone on stage just loved him.
He's having quite a time. The past few years, it's been very, very, very good Keanu years for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, I have to say, I think he's starting to make up for the Matrix. I really, I think he might have dug himself out of that hole finally.
Yeah, well, it was fun to see that kind of the footage on television and stuff. Now, what were some of the highlights for you so far at E3? What were some of the best moments?
You know, I think that the most interesting stuff about this year is that it's really, this year is about next year. You know, that we have these new consoles coming from Sony, the PlayStation, and Microsoft, the Xbox. Both of these new consoles are expected to come out next year. So a lot of what we saw this year are things that are actually coming out in 2020. And so we've learned a little bit about the new Xbox, how powerful it'll be, how visually stunning they say all the games will be. We got to see a new version of Halo, which is the game that really launched the Xbox. It's one of the most popular games ever made, right? Space shooting game. So there was a lot of talk about what the future will be. And the other thing that was really fascinating is this idea of game streaming. You know, a lot of us watch Netflix-style videos now, right? We stream our movies from Netflix's internet site. What's happening now is that Microsoft, Electronic Arts, Google, a bunch of others are now investing in the capability to do that with video games. And they're really saying that this may be the future. So eventually we may not even buy these multi-hundred-dollar boxes anymore to put by our TVs. We'll just connect them to the internet, and it'll be really fun. So it's really fascinating seeing this kind of change happening.
What is the Google Stadia? That's one of the, and Microsoft's Project X Cloud. Those are kind of what you're talking about, the future of gaming.
Exactly. Stadia, which, by the way, sounds like a weird name, but they say it's the plural of stadium. So you can chew on that one for a while. And then,
I never heard that before in my life. I've said stadiums all my life. And now I have to switch. I have to switch to Stadia. Suddenly?
Now you have, well, it's your call. Yeah. You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to argue with you.
Right.
Google will. But no, and the reason it's called Stadia, by the way, is that part of the real selling point of this thing is not just that you get to play games over the internet, which is cool, but also that it's going to actually allow you to play with friends. So you're going to be able to send a friend a link, like a YouTube link, and suddenly, boom, they can see you playing the game. They can interact with you. They can do all sorts of stuff. And then if they push a button, boom, they're playing the game themselves. So there's a lot of that type of stuff that they're doing, which, you know, they say it's like everyone's together in the stadium playing together. That's where the name comes from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and Microsoft's Project X Cloud, what's that all about?
Yeah, so Project X Cloud, it's interesting. So Google is selling Stadia as kind of the future of gaming. They're not selling a box. There is no box. You can just plug in with your computer. You don't even have to buy a controller from them. Microsoft is taking a slightly different view because, you know, they want to sell you an Xbox. So what they're saying is that the X Cloud, which eventually hopefully will have a better name, that they are doing this as kind of the first step toward the future. So what they see it as is that if you're going to play at home, you're going to have an Xbox. And it's going to look amazing. You're going to love it. You're not going to need an internet connection. But when you're out and about, let's say you're traveling or, you know, you're at work and you're bored during lunch hour, you can fire up their xCloud app on your phone or on your tablet or even on your work computer, and boom, you're able to play the game. So they see it as kind of complementary. We'll see how people respond to it. But Google saying basically you don't need a console anymore is kind of throwing a gauntlet down on this idea of even having one.
Yeah. Have they talked about any of the games that are going to be available for either of these services?
Yes. So as I mentioned, Halo is the big one.
Yeah.
There are not actually that many games that have been, you know, confirmed, quote unquote, for the new consoles, but we all know it. So, for example, pretty much all of these games that have been announced for 2020, which includes, for example, you've got the Cyberpunk 2077, which a lot of people are excited about. It comes out in March, but you'll be certainly correct thinking that there's going to be a version of it for the new ones as well. They announced, you know, some other games, like there's this game Gears 5. The Gears of War series is one of the more popular space shooters as well, also owned by Microsoft. That will likely run on this device. You know, pretty much everything we've been hearing lately. There's and then what I found was really interesting. If you reach back in your memory to 1997, there was this game that overtook the video game industry by storm. It was called Final Fantasy VII.
Sure.
It was by a company called Square Enix. And again, if you have a gamer in your life, you mention that word, they will absolutely know that title. And that game is being remastered. So it's actually being remade. So it's not that they updated it with new graphics and everything. They actually took the whole game, they threw it out the window, and they took all the characters in the story and they completely remade it, looking with modern look and feel and the way that you play the game. And let me tell you, when they announced that game 5 years ago, the person next to me cried. I kid you not. They broke down in tears over excitement. And the amount of excitement that is at this event for that game is really stunning. It comes out next March, but again, I will bet you pretty heavily that game will also show up on the new devices as well.
Now, has Google or Microsoft talked about the pricing about Stadia or Project X Cloud or anything like that? Because, you know, we were talking about the Apple announcements. Everybody was kind of frustrated that there was the lack of pricing going on.
Correct, and I agree with you. So Google, initially when they announced Stadia in March, did not give us pricing, and I was quite frustrated. But about a week ago, they did give us their pricing, and it's actually really aggressive. So they're going to have two pricing tiers. One is that if you buy a game from them, let's say you buy the next the upcoming game from Ubisoft called Watch Dogs Legion. It's about hackers trying to take back control of London from this evil company and government that's taken over with all this technology and drones. That game is going to be $60 in the store. It'll probably be $60 with Stadia too. If you buy it from Google, you can use Stadia for free. So they're saying basically you don't have to buy anything extra from them. You don't even have to pay extra. Just buy the game. You're home free.
Wow.
xCloud is going to be different. We don't know the pricing on that. So we'll see. But both of them also have subscription services where they're offering for 10 or 15 bucks a month access to a whole library of games. And they say also a couple of extra features. So it's a pretty good bet that somewhere in the middle of all that is where these streaming services will show up. I'm really curious to see how this all goes. Because, again, Google offering it basically for free is throwing down the gauntlet of everyone else. I mean, right now, Sony charges 20 bucks a month for theirs. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. Now, what's the response been from the gamers there about these announcements, particularly for Google and Microsoft stuff?
Yeah, when it comes to streaming, you know, the gamers here are rather hardcore gamers, right? They allow actual just gamers, normal people, to join the show. They have to pay a couple hundred bucks for a ticket, but
yeah.
They walk around, and they walk around like me, and they get to see everything, and they have a lot of fun. So those people are a little kind of down on all this. You know, they're looking at all the... They don't like change, and I can't blame them entirely.
Yeah.
One of the biggest criticisms of this technology, other than the fact that people tried to do this 10 years ago and failed, and it kind of soured a lot of people on the proof of this stuff.
Yeah.
But the other thing was that they say, look, you know, if I have Comcast today or I have Verizon, I have a data cap. You know, I have Comcast at home in San Francisco. If I go over a terabyte of data in a month, I'm going to get charged.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a lot of data that they need to stream for me to be able to play a video game. It's more than watching a movie.
Oh, sure.
So that's the concern that a lot of people have, is that unless Comcast and Verizon and AT&T change their ways and suddenly become super nice to all of us and give us higher data caps for nothing, this is going to be kind of a stressful period if people switch over completely.
Yeah. Well, that's a big detail right there. All right.
Yep.
Ian, hang on, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Ian Scherer is with us. He is a tech guy, and he talks to us about tech news, and we have a lot more to talk about. He's editor-at-large at CNET.com, so you can check that out as well. We're going to take a quick break here for the news on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday morning, so that means all the regular Friday features. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and, of course, Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests in at 312-981-7200. That's all coming up. Father's Day this weekend, so we're going to talk about best and worst TV and movie dads and much more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And your Fly Jam requests. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Nick D Show. We're talking tech stuff with Ian Scherer, who is editor at large with CNET. And he is at the Electronic Entertainment Expo, or E3. And he's been covering a lot of stuff there. Ian, welcome back.
Hi.
All right. Let's talk about, Mythic Quest. It's Always Sunny team is coming to Apple TV Plus. That was another announcement that was made at E3.
Yeah, this is interesting. You know, so there's this French video game company called Ubisoft, and you may know them. They make a game particularly popular called Assassin's Creed. It's a kind of historical fiction game where you get to go back in time and be an assassin.
Yeah, I unfortunately saw the movie.
That is part of the problem.
Yeah.
That movie did not go well.
Right.
I think it might have sunk Michael Fassbender's career for a while, which is sad. I was a Michael Fassbender fan until that movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, you've got Ubisoft. All the game companies want to be TV and movie producers because they make games that are very dramatic and they have storylines and they think, let's do more. So this television show that Ubisoft is working on is called Mythic Quest. And they have signed a deal with Apple for the Apple TV Plus, which I will remind you, as we've written on CNET, we don't know the pricing yet, but we will find out in the fall.
Right.
And this is a really interesting, you know, it's a little bit inside baseball. It's about this kind of mercurial game development studio head and how he thinks he's amazing and how this game that they created that's taken the world by storm, which is called Mythic Quest, is kind of what their experience of life is. Running this video game and working for this crazy person. I'm really curious to see how it'll go because as someone who remembers when his industry, right, the journalism industry, when HBO did Newsroom, it kind of didn't play out that well, right? And Aaron Sorkin, who did Newsroom, he's not bad at what he does. He's very good at writing thoughtful and fun television shows, but it did not work out well. And I'm curious whether or not a show about a video game developer could work out. You know, I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, it is sometimes, you know, it's funny when you're in a certain, when you have a certain job or you're in a specific business, you look at it when they make movies or television shows about that, you always look at it a little bit differently. Like, you know, like you know, like you see a movie like Talk Radio. You know, someone in my position always looks at it a little bit differently than someone who probably doesn't do that job. Or the TV show News Radio was another one. And it's always funny. So the gamers and the people who work in the gaming industry are going to be probably particularly strict about this one.
Well, yeah, they will. And I think part of the reason that Ubisoft got into it is that they are a company that has a sense of humor. And I think that they see an opportunity to be a little silly about themselves. And I am totally on board with that. It's actually really funny. The CEO of Ubisoft, his name is Yves Guillemot, is actually this very kind of, you know, just easy as go guy I've ever met.
Yeah.
He's super calm. He's not mercurial at all. Everyone I've always talked to who worked for him loved him. So it's kind of funny that they did this opposite of his personality for the show. But, you know, the concern I have, I mean, yes, television and movies always get my job wrong as they get your job wrong.
Yeah.
But I think what's going to be interesting is there enough material there to make it compelling for people who don't have our jobs?
Right. Sure. Exactly.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, you can, like, you know, there are a lot of, it's sunny, always sunny in Philadelphia. May not be popular with the people who have those jobs, but it is certainly a popular show. So I think that's the real question is, you know, can you make it work? And I'm really curious to see.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I'm a big fan of It's Always Sunny, always have been. I love that show, and I think the guys behind it do a great job with it. So I'd be curious to see how they handle this, you know?
I'm hopeful, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk about some other stuff, like Father's Day. I mentioned Father's Day is coming up, and at CNET.com, you guys put together a list of 14 great Father's Day gifts under $50. Let's talk about those.
Yeah, so first off, you do not need to buy socks, although I am a fan of silly socks myself, or ties, or pens. You can actually start getting real stuff. So we have a really good list on CNET. A lot of them actually tend to be stuff that I am, like, a huge fan of, like these, a lot of the portable speakers these days have gotten really good. So there's one called the JBL Clip. It's $40, and it is just as it sounds like. It clips on this stuff. So, you know, I don't know if you've seen this. Walking down the street, sometimes people have a speaker that's just kind of clipped onto their backpack.
Yeah.
I think it's really fun. It makes it easy to carry around. If you're camping specifically, it's really cool. And it's tiny, $40. There are other ones out there as well. You know, that we have another one that's $30. That's a little lower quality speaker. Then there are also, if you have someone who's like really wanting to, you know, they're always listening to music or they're always listening to podcasts, we have a good set of wireless headphones that we can recommend that are not the same as Apple's AirPods. You know, those are $150,
yeah.
But for $45, they're not a bad deal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, exactly. And then probably the last one I'll bring up is a portable charger, which is you can never go wrong with going for a battery pack for your loved one, because people always benefit from a battery pack. So we have one that we're a pretty good fan of. It's $26, and it'll carry you through a couple of charges.
Okay, all right, very cool. So there's some great stuff to go with. Now what is the Roku streaming stick?
Yeah, so this is an interesting device. You know, this is another one of those things that we recommend on the list. By the way, $48. And what you have to think about is that, you know, a lot of us have internet-connected TVs today, right? We have app-enabled TVs, if you have a Samsung or an LG specifically. But a lot of us don't. You know, I bought my HDTV back in 2010 before the internet even knew how to talk to a TV. And so right now, I have a device that sits next to my TV that I plug in. Some people have an Apple TV. Some people have a Roku. Roku is basically a competitor to Apple TV. That's what you want to think about.
Yeah.
So this streaming stick is a very small, cheap version of the Roku. And we actually, at CNET, we've reviewed it. It's one of our favorite devices because it's so small, it's so portable, it's so easy to use, and it's cheap. So we're pretty big fans of it. It works with Netflix, Hulu, PlayStation View, Sling, all the big ones. And we like it. So it's a nice opportunity as well if you have a older television.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I ended up my TV that I had since 2009 just incinerated one morning. I turned it on and poof, and smoke came out, and that wonderful electronic burning smell.
Oh, those are always the best.
Yeah. And so I went out and I got a new TV and I got a Roku. I ended up getting a Roku TV and it's great.
There you go. Yeah,
yeah. It's great. But I love that idea that, you know, people can just get this device, hook it up, and they too have, now they have a Roku TV. That's a really great idea. And $48 is a really great price.
Yeah, no, and that's why we're a big fan of it. And look, you know, it's not the same as Apple TV. There's a lot of features that are missing, but a lot of people don't care. And I have friends who, some of them have both. Some of them will travel, and they want to have, you know, they want to make sure that they have all of their Netflix and everything signed in, so they just carry the streaming stick with you. You know, there's a lot of options out there that this makes life easier with.
Okay. All right. Ian, hang on, okay?
Yep.
All right. Ian Schur is with us. We got more tech stuff to talk about, and he is at the Electronic Entertainment Expo, which is E3, covering all the video games and other great stuff as part of his work at CNET. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more tech talk with Ian Schur right here on 720 WGN. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows with the opening bell, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your Friday morning drive. All the regular Friday features are coming up, straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spy, You Big Dummy, and of course, Fly Jams Friday. So get the requests in at 312-981-7200. Let's get back to our conversation with Ian Schur, who's editor-at-large with CNET, CNET.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ian Schur, S-H-E-R-R. And we're talking tech. Let's welcome Ian back. Ian, welcome back.
Hi.
All right, so Apple is killing iTunes, and I know a lot of people have questions, and you guys have a very extensive piece answering pretty much any question that you would have about and concern that you would have about them ending iTunes. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so one of the things that that people have complained about who are Apple users, and you may have someone like this in your own family, is that that when they use iTunes these days, it is a mess, and it's very hard to use. And you plug in your phone, suddenly you don't know where it went. If you're trying to find your music and you didn't push the right button, suddenly you're in the movies. It's really confusing. And, you know, part of the reason for this is that iTunes is a 20-year-old program. It came out in 2001, so it's almost 20.
Wow.
And it was originally, you know, designed to allow you to rip your CDs and turn them into playlists and then burn them, and that was a huge thing. Then the iPod came out, and it was a thing to sync your iPod. You remember those days?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it became a podcast place, and then it started doing videos. It was one of the first places to buy movies over the internet. And then it just did, and then the App Store and managing your iPhone, and I'm getting exhausted just thinking about all these things.
Yeah, yeah.
So what they said is that, look, you know, we realize it's become too much. It's just, it does too many things, and it's hard to use, and it doesn't make sense anymore. So they had a kind of, you know, a goodbye to iTunes a couple weeks ago in a public event, and then they said, what we're going to do is split them up. So now, just like you have on an iPad or an iPhone, there's a music app, there's a movies app, and there's a podcast app. And that's exactly what's going to happen with iTunes. It's just going to be split into three different apps. There won't be anything called, quote-unquote, iTunes anymore. But that is the future, they say. And it's worth noting, if you have a Windows PC and you're using iTunes, you will still be able to use iTunes. Don't worry. But for all the Apple users out there, of which there is a growing number every year, they're not going to have iTunes anymore.
Ah, okay. Now, so people are probably concerned about what's going to happen to my music and all that other stuff.
Yep.
But give us a little details on that so people can be reassured that everything's going to be all right.
It's super easy. All of your stuff is just where you think it is. If you want to listen to your music, guess what? Bam! Hit your music app. All the music's still there. Hit your you want to listen to a podcast? You hit that. All your podcasts are still there. Nothing really changes. It's just, instead of having all these different functions from iTunes, you have to learn and click and all that stuff, now they're just different apps. That's literally the difference. So you'll still be able to buy your music, you'll still be able to look at your movies, all that stuff. One big change that they're going to make is that if you still sync your iPhone, you're going to now do that from the computer itself, not from one of the apps. So you'll have to learn a little bit of that. Fortunately, Apple has those nice people who will teach you for free at the stores if you want to. But, you know, and we'll have obviously explainer videos on CNET when we get the chance to review the software and show you how it works. But in the meantime, what Apple showed us, it seems like it's pretty easy and may even be easier than it was before they made the switch. So I'm hopeful.
About the pricing on this, Apple Music, how is it different than iTunes?
It's the same. I mean, that's the thing. All of this, so iTunes app is free. to manage all of your music, and it'll still be free under this new system. There is the subscription service called Apple Music, which competes with Spotify and all that stuff. It's going to be the same pricing it was before, so none of that really changes. What I am curious about is that when Apple TV Plus comes out, Apple Arcade, all these things that we don't know the pricing for, have I mentioned that I'm annoyed by that? a lot of people are rumoring that somehow they're going to tie these things together. So imagine, for example, you have a subscription, and right now a couple of people do this, Hulu or Spotify. If you have a subscription to Spotify, you get free access to Hulu. If you pay a subscription for the Xbox Games Pass, which gives you access to 100 some odd games a month, and then also their social network called Xbox Live Gold, if you subscribe to both of them, you get it cheaper for the two of them together instead of paying for them separately. So I think Apple is probably going to do something similar, although reading the tea leaves from that company is always going to be an exercise in frustration. But there's a lot of rumors that that's what they're going to do.
Okay. All right. Well, and again, this piece that you can read about with all the questions that you could possibly have about iTunes going away, again, is at CNET.com, and you should check it out and read it, because it's very comprehensive, as is everything on CNET. So check out CNET.com. So this weekend is Father's Day. As we talked about some of the cheaper gifts that you can get for the man in your life who's a father and all that stuff. But you guys did a fun thing. You guys had the Father's Day picks for best sci-fi and fantasy dads. Yeah, tell us about the results of that.
Yeah, so we actually have a very robust culture team at CNET. We cover movies, we do movie reviews, we do all sorts of stuff, and we actually interview a lot of celebrities who go on CNET magazine. So we decided to have a poll inside the office. I participated in an email poll, and what we did is that we found the best dad. So obviously, you have to start because Avengers Endgame came out. It was a huge deal. We found out that Tony Stark became a father. Sorry for the spoilers. I think it's okay now.
Yeah.
So Tony Stark is our number one dad. After that, Jim Hopper. I don't know if you watch Stranger Things.
I do.
If you don't, one of my favorite things about Stranger Things is that Netflix said once that it is one of the most popular shows it has ever put out, because it hits the sweet spot of everything everyone loves. It's nostalgic because it happens in the 80s. It's got sci-fi, but not too much. It's got a cute story. Everyone loves that, right? Like, all of these lovable characters, just, it's great. So Jim Hopper is the dad in Stranger Things. And actually, the funny part is he's not even a dad. He's actually just the police chief, and he ends up kind of adopting one of the kids. And it's just unbelievably adorable. David Harbour, by the way, the guy who plays Jim Hopper, is a really great guy. We did an interview with him at CNET. He was really nice.
Yeah.
We had him unbox a couple of things. He had a lot of fun. Then after that, you've got, obviously, Woody from Toy Story. Again, not a father, but he's a leader of all the toys. And Toy Story 4 is coming out in the summer, so you can see where we're going with a lot of this.
Yeah, Woody also was like a surrogate father to Andy. When he was a little kid too, yeah,
exactly, right, or a best friend. It's the best guy you want to play.
Yeah,
and then for some people where the wounds might be a little too fresh, I do want to bring up Ned Stark from Game of Thrones. the first season. Oh my gosh! But yeah, so he's definitely what we call our honorable till death dad.
Right.
Yeah, and then Captain Dad. I don't know how many people are Star Trek fans, but Benjamin Sisko was quite a character in Star Trek, and particularly not only was he the first black captain that we had on television for a Star Trek series, but he was also just an amazing actor. He was so different from Kirk and Picard and Janeway, but he was just such an amazing character. So if you were a fan of Star Trek and you don't remember, there's actually a great video we linked to of Sisko yelling at people. he's just really good at it. So I would highly recommend
Avery Brooks, by the way, terrific actor. Really
good. My gosh, yeah. He's just so good. And then, by the way, my favorite Avery Brooks thing, he did a series of commercials for IBM about the future, and my favorite one was that he complained. This was back in, 2000, right at the turn of millennium. And he did this, go to YouTube and type it in, Avery Brooks, IBM flying cars, where he complains for a minute about where are his flying cars.
Yeah.
He was promised flying cars and they haven't happened. Why doesn't he have flying cars? It's just really cute.
That's great.
So, yeah, I'm a big fan of his. And then, obviously, you've got Butler Dad, Alfred Pennyworth from Batman, and then Surrogate Dad, Adam West, right? The Batman from the 70s, in the 60s, the campy version. All of us love Adam West. And so, yeah, that's a good kind of overview. We actually have a few more dads on there if you want to find out, but those are the ones that stuck out to me.
Those are the ones that stick out. Of course, I mean, again, Obi-Wan Kenobi is also on this list, too.
Who never became a father, but he was as close as you can get, and I think he was maybe a better father than
you think than his real father. He was a better father than his real father, really. and to close it all out, you guys did a survey. People did a survey that people are spending less time on Facebook. How much less time, and why?
Yeah, so this is a really fascinating survey. It came from eMarketer, which is one of those people who kind of studies the industry. And they found that people were spending 38 minutes each day on Facebook on average last year. This is U.S. adults, by the way.
Yeah.
And that is down 3 minutes from 41 minutes in 2017. Now, you may think, well, 3 minutes, who cares? Well, first off, that's a lot of money that Facebook is losing because you're not scrolling through the app and seeing a few more ads. That's the first thing.
Right.
The second thing is that we are all looking and, you know, with real interest in what is the fallout for all of the corporate malfeasance and screw-ups that they have had over the last couple of years. And every data point so far has shown that most people just don't care. People are still using Facebook. It's growing the number of users it has. It was really interesting to see this. And a lot of people have told me who work in this industry, they say, well, you got to keep in mind, advertisers change their plans every 18 months. And we're just getting past the one-year mark of Cambridge Analytica. So I'm curious to see how Facebook's world is going to change in the next year or so.
Yeah.
With not only that, but the FTC fine that's coming down, Congress threatening to regulate them, never mind all the other governments around the world. So that's part of why this data matters. It's not so much, oh, Facebook lost 3 minutes of our time. Whatever. It's about what does this mean about how we feel about Facebook.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. It's specifically Facebook, right? Or I mean, Instagram, those things, they're not really slowing down as well, are they?
No, Instagram's actually growing, right?
Yeah.
Which, ironically, is owned by Facebook. So
yeah,
at least
of course.
They've got another ship.
Yeah.
So, you know, Instagram actually gained, they went from 22 minutes in 2016, 25 minutes in 2017, and 26 minutes last year.
Wow.
So they're growing. It's also worth noting, poor Snapchat, they've been struggling.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how these things shake out. And, you know, again, what really matters is not just the one-year change. It's really what's the trend? How are people going? And so we're seeing Instagram's trending up. Facebook's starting to trend a little down. And, look, at least Mark Zuckerberg owns both of them. For him, he'll be happy. He'll make his money. But it reminds you why you've got Elizabeth Warren and all of these other people running for president saying, hey, maybe it's time to break up this company because even if we punish it, they still end up winning. And that doesn't sound right to her. So it's an interesting thing going on.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Ian, always a pleasure to talk to you. Editor-at-large, CNET.com. You can check him out there. And we'll talk to you soon. And enjoy yourself again at E3.
I will, absolutely.
Okay, thank you, Ian. Take care. There you go.
Ian
Schur, everybody, from CNET, doing our tech talk here. And we'll talk to him again in a little while. All right, let's take a quick break here for the news on 720 WGN.